reading for the morning is taken from the book of Matthew 22, verse 14. Matthew 22, 14. And it reads, "For many are called, but few are chosen." For many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Thank you, Val. Sometimes this morning's verse is powerful, so I'm sure our brother Lloyd will bring that to us. And on behalf of the congregation, I want to welcome all our visitors, wherever you are, wherever you're from, you're our honoured guests. Our brother Floyd is presenting the lesson this morning for those who I think we all know him. But brother Floyd is he's a wonderful brother, a good man. Served as an elder in Florida. His sister Delight, his wife, who had a stroke, and he's just doing amazing, and all our prayers are being answered each time we see our sister. But Floyd has stood by her and done the most incredible work in helping her. Him being here is a blessing. The first week, or first, certainly the first year, not the first week he was here in Leicester, Brother Floyd was the first visiting preacher. And we, as I said last week, we built him a pulpit out of cardboard boxes, and he stood there and he just blessed us with the messages. So we welcome you, brother, and we're thankful to God that you're here today. And I don't want to take any of this precious time, because this belongs to God. And so I now hand the time over to you. God bless you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Certainly a pleasure for me to be amongst you this morning. And as I always say to our folks back at home, that there is no place I would rather be, O Lord, today than with the people of God worshiping God of heaven.
Amen.
So I'm in my house. I'm grateful to be here. My wife is with me, and I call her the rock star. I refer to myself as her sidekick. Because no matter where we go, she gets all the attention. And there's nothing new about that, it's always been that big. And she does get it, she just demands and gets it anyway. I'm content just being her sidekick. I'm so grateful. Brother Paul's a great man. Brother Paul, you are an inspiration to me. And I extend greetings to you from our Brother Paul, the evangelist of our church at the Rightful Congregation in Bermuda, not Florida, Bermuda.
Did you say Florida?
That's all right. And there are some other comedians there, some I haven't seen for a long time. Sister Cindy, it's good to see you. The boys are really growing. Right, we'll get together, we'll chat some more today. I'm grateful, as I said, for the opportunity God has blessed me with to be able to present the truth from His Holy Word. I just hope and pray that my accent doesn't confuse you too much. I'll try to take my time. And regarding time, I asked Brother Paul how long do I have. He said, "For as long as you want." I said, "You don't know who you're talking to, right?" But I will try not to keep you too long. But I have something that I think would be beneficial for all of us to share. This congregation is a lot bigger than I remember before. And I notice you have a lot of young people. A lot of enthusiasm. You're all impressed with being people who are sincere and who love the Lord. And I'm so glad to see so many young people in this congregation. And I want to encourage those of you, and I know it's a credit to Brother Paul and those of leadership, but I want to encourage all of you to not take that for granted. A lot of places you go, you don't see this. And so we'd like to encourage young people to make a decision that for you're going to dedicate your entire life to the cause of Christ. Make that decision, make it once, and never change back from making that decision. So glad we could be with us. Now, to our text. Your brother read that text, your mother thought, "Did it? I got to read it a second time." For many are called, but few are chosen. I'm actually going to begin reading from verse 1 and read on down verse 14. I just didn't want to text him and go over there and read. to begin with. Many are called, but few are chosen. We spoke a little bit about culture in our morning class. And sometimes culture shifts with the passing of generations and the different, you know, things that come up in life. I grew up in Bermuda, Islands, about 60,000 people population, 21 square miles, so very small. And when I grew up, it was at a time when children actually went outside to play. And we spent all of our time outdoors. But when it began to get dark and it began to approach supper time, we used supper or dinner here. What's it called here? Dinner time or supper time? Dinner time? Okay, we always said supper time. When it came to supper, the people will come outside the houses and begin to call the children. And sometimes those calls will be musical. For example, they want to be, they will say, "Floyd!" And of course, if I asked it, if I heard it, I would ask it. But most times, I was not in hearing distance. I was also here gallivanting with my friends. But you were called when it was getting nighttime. And when you were called, you were expected to come. And if you didn't come when you were called, there were consequences to yourself. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There were definitely consequences when you didn't come. But when I thought about this now, I'm thinking about Jesus. He is calling us. He is calling us home. Nighttime is coming. And he is calling us to come home. Sometimes, you know, I would go out to play and I wander off outside my neighborhood. And, you know, I couldn't hear my cousin usually was the one that was calling me. I couldn't hear his call. And they would have to send someone to find me to let me know that it's time to come home. The gospel is like that as well. Jesus sometimes sends us to call those who are far from home, who are far from his kingdom. And he calls them to come home. In our text, I want to read Matthew chapter 21. And I'm going to begin with verse number 1 and read on down to verse number 14. 22, pardon me. Matthew chapter 22, beginning with the first verse. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parable and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. I would like to speak on the subject. Do you hear God calling? Do you hear God calling? And we need to understand what I mean by do you hear. I don't mean are you physically able to hear, but the hearing I'm referring to is of a spiritual kind of hearing. I don't mean do you hear the call, but the kind of calling I'm talking about is a calling that is a spiritual calling. It's a calling that you only hear, and the evidence of your hearing it is when you respond in obedience to the call. So many times people hear, but they don't obey. So many times people hear, and they don't respond to the call. And that's why the 14th verse, it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. The distinction between those who are called and those who are chosen is not in what they heard. They all hear. The distinction between the ones who are called and the ones who are chosen is that the ones who are chosen are those who responded to what they heard when they were called. And so that's what I'm talking about. Do you hear God calling? Have you responded to God's word in your life? God calls us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the text that you read, we find Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven and is saying what the kingdom is like. He's saying the kingdom is like a king who arranged a marriage and invited people to come. But they began to make light of that invitation. They began to prioritize other things above that invitation, and they didn't come. And not only that, but they treated those whom he had sent spitefully and even killed them. And he found it necessary to take up revenge and destroy them and to burn their city. And so what we learn is, just like when my mom called me or my cousin called me and it was time to come home for supper and I didn't come, there were consequences. So when God calls you, you can be rest assured that if you do not hear, there will be consequences. There will be consequences. And the thing about God is that he always keeps his word. He always tells you what he's going to do, and then he does exactly what he tells you he's going to do. Now, what we need to understand, first of all, is God calls us through the gospel. God calls us through the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and there in the 14th verse, he says, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God calls us by the gospel, and it's in responding to that call that we glorify God. So if we're going to glorify God, then we definitely have to hear God calling, and we have to respond to his call. We respond when we hear, when we obey his word. That's the only time we have responded to God's call, is when we obey his word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in the 22nd verse, Peter said, purify your soul in obeying the truth. If you want to purify your soul in response to God's call, then you must obey the truth. You must obey that which God has given you to obey that will bring purification to your soul. You see, the call can only be answered through obedience to the gospel. The problem is, many want to claim the benefits of the call without rendering obedience to the call. The call is only truly heard, as I said, when it is obeyed. That's when it's heard. That's when you can become one of the chosen, when you obey. And I'm sure most of us know that in here. But the thing we need to do is to understand what God has called us to. You see, God has called us to a number of things. When we talk about the call, there's a lot of things he's called us to. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, he has called us to be saints. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, he has called us into liberty. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, he's called us to follow Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, he has called us into eternal glory. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, it is a call to holiness. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 15, he has called us in one body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, he has called us into fellowship with him and his son. In Romans 8 and verse 39 is one of our favorites. He called us into purpose to live for him. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, he has called us into who? Lots of things that God has, but all of these calls come to the gospel. They come to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some claim God has called them through dreams or through life experiences. Just before the pandemic, I met a young man in a grocery store and we got to chat, set up a Bible study appointment with him. We went to study with him. And we got to the study that we're, you know, I'm old enough to get to, you know, teaching the plan of salvation. And he was, I can't remember the denomination he went to. So I was asking him about his salvation. And he was telling me that he was saved after having a dream. He had this very poignant type of dream this night, you know, and he took that to indicate that God had saved him through his dream. And unfortunately, I never got a chance to clarify the truth of the matter, what the Bible actually says about salvation with him, because the pandemic came in and he wouldn't let me come to his house anymore. So that's one of the negative effects of the pandemic, just one, or many. But he claimed that he was saved through a dream. I spoke with other people who claimed that they had other experiences in their life that they could not explain, and that was the indication that they were saved. But what we need to consider is this, that if you are saved through a dream, if one person is saved through a dream, then everybody has to be saved through a dream. Because if you have a dream, and that means you are saved, and I don't have a dream, and I'm not saved, that makes God a respectable person. That takes away my responsibility for my salvation. That means that I, it's all on God. I can point a finger at God and say, you gave him a dream, you didn't give me one. So it's on you why I am not saved. So the lesson is that God has given us just one way for every one of us to be saved. And we need to hear that call. When you hear God calling, you obey his word. And so, what we like to look at, first of all, is what are we called to? When we hear God's calling, what are we called to? I listed a whole lot of things that God calls us to. But we need to understand that we are not only called by the gospel, but we are called to the gospel. We are called to a life of faithful obedience. We are called to a life that is dedicated to the cause of Christ. We are called to have Christ enthroned as the sovereign of our life. We are called to put to death our life and to live for Christ. We are called by the gospel. We are called to mission. We are called to be sent. We are called to serve others. We are called to love the way Jesus loved. We are called to ministry and mission. In our text, in Matthew chapter 22, look at verse 3. In verse 3, it talks about, and sent out his servants to call those who were invited. In verse number 4, it says again, he sent out others, saying, tell those who are invited. And then, in verse number 9, he says, therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So God calls us by the gospel, and then once we have the gospel, then we are called within the gospel to go out and call others, to invite others, to tell others about that which we have been called to. In Brighton Hill, we have a program in which we are trying to get the evangelism program, really. We're trying to instill into the minds of our members that we are called to be disciples, and we are to be disciples who make disciples. Okay? We are called to be disciples so that we can make other people disciples as well. What are we called to? We are called to mission. We are called to preach the gospel, as it says in Mark 16 and 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What are we called to? We are called to be light of this world. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so we are called to illuminate God's message to those who love us. And we do this by living, as he said in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that we are to be living epistles. We are to be living, we are to live the word of Jesus Christ. And that others may see the transformation that takes place in our life. And that he may get the glory. God gets, you know, some people, you all didn't know me when I was a younger man, and I didn't know you when you were younger either. But I'm going to talk about me. When I was a younger man, I'm not the same person you see here today. When I was a younger man, I ran the streets. When I was a younger man, I engaged in all of the activities you might imagine that man engaged in the streets today. That was me. I wasn't a gang member. We didn't have gangs back then. But I eventually evolved into gangs and stuff like that. But that's the kind of life that I lived. I lived in an underworld kind of life. And it wasn't until, first I met my wife until I married. But a year later, I met Jesus Christ, and I married Christ. And so that kind of transformation took place in my life. I heard a call, and I responded to it. I learned about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I responded to it. And I made a decision that I was going to allow God's light to illuminate me, and I will be a light to those who are around me. And when people see me, and they look at me, and they say, I knew you then, but what happened to you? Praise God. God gets the glory. I didn't do it myself. God transformed me. I did some stuff I don't want to speak about because my children are here. I'm sure you did some stuff I didn't know about either. But I was engaged in activities that I am not proud of. But it was the culture that I was in, Brother Gary. It was that street culture that I was in. And I just fell in line with it. And some of you know what I'm talking about. I know. What is the size? Some of you know what I'm talking about. I was made up, but some of you do. We are called to change our lives. We are called to sanctification. Sanctification. We are to be sanctified, to be cleansed, to be set apart for God's good use. In Jude chapter 1, verse 1, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father. Sanctified by God. So we reject the world. We turn our backs on the things of the world. And those things that will pull us away from God. And we set ourselves apart to be a vessel, a chosen vessel to be used by God, that God may receive the glory through the lives that we live. And so we hear God, and that transformation takes place. We are called to experience eternal glory. Amen. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and there the 10th verse of the chapter, the Bible says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. God has called us that we may experience eternity in glory with him. We will be glorified with God. With Christ. Can we just wrap our minds around it? And when we think about those things, then we begin to look at the things in this world, they do not overwhelm us. They can't overwhelm us. Like Paul said, they're merely light afflictions. There are things that we want to put up with to get to our ultimate destination. And in the putting up with it, what we need to do is ensure that we listen for God. We listen for God's guidance. We listen for his call. All these life responses are indicative of the fact that you truly hear and you truly are responsive to God's call. It is a call to true righteousness. It is a call to true holiness. To be holy is to be like God. Be ye holy, for God is holy. What are we called to? God, what are so many benefits derived from hearing the call? There are so many.
we can do series of lessons and all the benefits that derive from hearing the call of God. But for our purposes, we want to just notice just a few. Just a few. The first one I want to look at is that sainthood. It's not something we talk about a lot. But you derive from hearing the call, sainthood. We don't need to die. We become saints. In 1 Corinthians, when Paul addressed the brethren there in chapter 1, in the second verse of that chapter, he says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. If you are a Christian, you and I, we are called to be saved. You don't have to die and then some body of man, some panel of man, sit in consideration as to whether or not you should be, allocated to some type of sainthood. When you obey the gospel, you are sanctified. When you are sanctified, you are a saint of God. Sometimes you make a statement, I'm no saint. As Christians, you ought not say that. You ought to change that up, that I am a saint. So what happens is people get this notion that if you're a saint, that you cannot be flawed in any way. Brother Gary was talking about that this morning in class. We're all flawed. And if anybody tells you not flawed, then he's got other issues. They got other issues. But we are all flawed. And so what we need to do is understand that being a saint, saint does not mean that you are sinlessly perfect. Being a saint means you have been sanctified by God. And when you have been sanctified by God, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse you. Lord have mercy. That's so encouraging to me. Because it ties in God's grace. Oh man, it ties in God's grace. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ who makes it all possible for you and I to continue in our ways which are imperfect. Now, you are not walking the light. You are not sin that grace may abound more. But the fact that we have this grace available, the fact that God loves us so much that he gave the ultimate sacrifice that we may be able to attain to this status of God, obtain the grace that he has provided for us. That's such a feeling of encouragement. The benefit from hearing the call of God. Another benefit from hearing the call of God is a call from darkness to his light. And then sometimes, we kind of take some of this stuff for granted. When we start thinking about darkness, we think about ignorance. We think about sin. We think about not knowing. But God has called us from darkness into his light. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter talks about how God sees us. And when we look at how God sees us, it just fills me with joy. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, look at what it says this. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him, watch it, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. His light becomes your light. And you manifest his light through the life that you lead. And others see that light in you. Give God the glory. But God sees me as a chosen. He has chosen me. I don't know how that makes you feel, but it makes me feel kind of special. I don't always choose myself, but God chose me. God chose me with all my flaws. I don't know if you're like me, but I kind of beat up on myself sometimes for the flaws that I have. Anybody else do that? You kind of, I wish I was better at this area, I wish I was good. We tend to do that to ourselves. But God accepts us the way we are. He takes us flaws and all, and he molds us into the image of his dear son. When we hear his call. We must hear his call. God sees me as a chosen generation. And I'm royal. I'm royal to y'all. You're looking at, royalty. And sometimes we live below our status. We don't act like we're royal. We don't act like God's king. We act as though we are in subjugation to those who are not royal. Let's just be kind. Who are not royal in the eyes of God. God sees me as a royal and a priesthood, a royal priesthood. He sees me as his own special people. You know, I tease a lot and get around, I kid around a lot. And I keep my grandchildren and everybody. You know, you talk about special. God sees us as special. I tell them they're special, and then they're special. Which special are you? But God sees us as being special. I am special in the eyes of God. That means that He has, He looks at me and sees somebody who has worth and value. I have worth and value in the eyes of God. He sees us as those who are worthy to proclaim His praise. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Another benefit derived from hearing the call. And this one is highly important, especially in this world. It's the benefit of hope. Hope. You ever talk to someone that's lost hope? Remember one night, getting a call, late one night, I had a young lady that worked with me. Called me up and she was contemplating suicide. I had talked to her, and she ended up being alright. She's okay today, but you know, when someone gets to that stage of life, it means they have lost hope. But God blesses us with hope. God provides hope for us. Brother Mike talked about a book a little last week, and one of the things he pointed out, which is true, he said, when we talk about hope, it connotes the idea of expectation. You know, hope is not wishing. You know, wishing is something to do with little pennies on the well or Lord birthday candles. And sometimes the things we wish for, we don't really expect to get them. But when you have hope, the kind of hope that God gives you, then you expect it. It's an expectation that God will provide. I hope I have eternal life. I expected it. You know, I remember, and he mentioned this last week, and it brought back to mind years ago when I used to be involved with the prison ministry. And I was a younger Christian, and I used to go into the maximum security prison back in the island, and then teach Bible class there. And a prisoner taught me something. He taught me something. He wasn't a Christian, but he taught me something with a question he asked. He asked me, are you absolutely sure you're going to heaven? I didn't want to sound arrogant. I didn't want to come off as though, you know, yes, I'm going to heaven. That's what I was thinking about. I said, well, I certainly hope to. And he said to me, if you don't know you're going to heaven, how are you going to convince me? I thought to myself, he's absolutely right. I never said that again. If you ask me today if I'm going to heaven, I say yes, and I would love to see you there as well. You see, so we need to have that assurance. Hope gives the assurance that we can have. In Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 1, the Bible says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You know what is the hope of his calling. No one else can grant you that kind of hope except God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says there is one body and one spirit, just as you recall your one hope of your calling. We are called into hope. We are called. It's a benefit from hearing the call. Another benefit, and the final one we look at from hearing the call, is the assurance that everything is going to be all right. Yeah, you ever have things going wrong in your life and you're feeling low and somebody comes and puts their arm around you and says, don't worry about it, brother. Everything's going to be all right. And you know, and they start to tell you how they know, they trust that you're going to be able to get through this thing because they know the type of person you are. They try to encourage you. That's assurance. That let you know that you're going to make it. you're going to be all right. And we sing the song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Jesus assures us. He assures us that everything is going to be all right. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This is a verse that we Christians love to put. And I like to be Brother Paul Richards back there. He emphasized the first part of that. We want to race through it and get to the part that says all things work together for good. He emphasized the first part. He says, and we know that. You know something? We can know. We can have the blessed assurance that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose, those that are called according. So God has a purpose for us. And all things work together for good when we love God and we're striving our lives to fulfill his purpose. God will make a way. You hear people say God will make a way out of no way. God will make a way. He will see to it. And then the story that comes to my mind is Joseph. Remember Joseph? Brothers were jealous. Took him in. Want to kill him. Big brother said, let's not kill him. Instead, they sold him into Egyptian bondage, into slavery. And he ended up in Egypt, in the household of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife had designs on him. He ended up getting locked up. And while there, he had these dreams. And you know the whole story of Joseph. And later on, he was allocated to the second in command of all of Egypt, in charge of the granary during the time of famine. And his family had to come to him to get food, to ensure their survival. But they had meant it, and he said, you meant it to be evil, but God sent me ahead of time to preserve life. God took all the stuff that happened to David and made it turn out for something good to preserve life. And sometimes things happen to us. You don't know why. You try to figure out, God, what are you doing? What's taking you so long? Fix this. But God said, I am sending this your way that you may benefit, even if it's not intended to be your benefit. God can make it so that it can benefit you in your case. You know, when we talk about saving our own souls, what we're talking about saving, what we're talking about is creating a character within ourselves. The proper meaning of soul is character, our character. And so we are to develop the character, and when we get the character trait of Jesus Christ, then we are saving our own soul. And so we are saving our soul. And sometimes things happen to us in our life that can help build the kind of character trait that will help us to save our souls. And they're not always pleasant things. When you stop and think about anything that's worthwhile in life, there's always no pain attached to it. You go in the gym, what do they tell you? No pain, no gain. You can see I haven't had much pain lately. So there's not much pain. So God wants us to benefit, and he gives us a blessed assurance that everything is going to be all right. Final point. Remember when I talked about when as a child I was called here at twilight time to come home, and when you didn't respond that there were consequences. I also talked about when God calls you and you don't respond, there's consequences. In our text, he spoke, they made light of the invitation. They prioritized other things above the invitation, above the call that they were given. And we look at Luke 14. He tells another story very similar to this, but it's being invited to a supper. And they began to give excuse as to why they couldn't come. One guy said, I bought land, I gotta go see it. You know, who's to buy land having seen it before they purchased it? You must have seen, obviously, you bought land, you planted in those times, it was probably planted on a farm. You go check the soil to make sure it grows stuff. You're gonna check it before you buy it. So why do you need to go see it? Another guy said, I have 5 yoke of oxen. You buy a 5 yoke of oxen. That's a heavy investment. A yoke of oxen is 2, right? So that's 10 oxen. You're gonna see how they, you know, match up together. because the yoke of oxen, if you get one pull that way, one pull that way, one walk side, one walk, that's not an even match. They're not equally yoked. You see? So you've got to make sure the oxen are equally yoked every 5 pairs. Each pair is equally yoked. So you go, so what do you mean you can't come because you've got five yoked oxen on the scene? And the third guy said, you know, this is what I like about. He said, I can't come, I got married. he may have been suggesting that the wife wouldn't let him come. He's got other issues. Yeah, well, he may have been suggesting that I'm going to use my wife as an excuse for not coming. You either be or not. But the point being that each of these things has to do with our worldly interests. One has to do with our relationship. One has to do with our investment in our businesses. And we prioritize these things before Christ. And sometimes when God has called us, we prioritize things of this world ahead of them. And we don't hear the call. So there are consequences for not hearing the call. The one that Jesus said, blessed are those who have ears to hear. Some of the things that cause our hearing to be diminished is love for the world. You know, we love this world. And if we love this world, we are not loving God the way we should. Mm-hmm. If we love this world, we are cruising for a bruising, if you will. God tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passes away and the lust thereof. But we need to love God instead, because those things will be enduring. Another thing that that causes us to not hear God is preoccupation. We get preoccupied with other things. We get distractions. Usually the things of the world, right? Or the things that we aspire to, or the things that become our ambitions in life. There's nothing wrong with having ambitions. But you must have ambition towards God as our priority. You must be ensured, you must have ambition that we remain on good terms, if I can put it like that. We can remain on good terms with God. So we can't allow distractions. Can't allow our focus to be taken on God. And we mentioned before, our failure to prioritize. Remember Martha and Mary? Jesus was there, and Mary was sitting down, and Martha was coming about with the housework and the preparation of food, and she tells Jesus, make her come help me. Jesus said what? That she had made the wise decision. She wasn't allowing things to distract her. She was allowing things to cause her to prioritize listening to Jesus about fulfilling responsibilities in the world. But sometimes, you know, we be doing good things that can bring about a negative effect on us spiritually. The things we are doing in and of themselves are not necessarily bad things, but because we're occupying all of our time, because we're taking all of our attention, we don't give God any priority. So those things keep us from hearing God. We engage in things that are self-gratifying sometimes, to the detriment of our hearing God. All of these, I just lump them up with heart disease, spiritual heart disease. We love things more than we love God. We love the call of God. But if we are to be the disciples, to make disciples, we must heed the call. God is calling. Do you hear him? He's calling you right now. He's calling you to either obey the gospel, or he's calling you to change out some things in your life that is keeping you from listening to him with both ears, or listening to him wholeheartedly. Do you hear God calling? Hear what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 14. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and am known by my own. In John chapter 10, beginning with verse 26, Jesus said, but you do not believe
because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In John chapter 18, in verse 37, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So if you're going to hear God, you've got to hear the truth. When you hear God, you can ask these questions in the affirmative. Do you know Jesus? Does your personal testimony, your personal story vindicate Jesus? Do you hear him calling you? Then, have you answered him? You hear him, but have you answered him? Before you answer that in the affirmative, you need to understand that what identifies you as one who has answered the call of God. How do I know that I have answered the call of God? First of all, if you have obeyed the gospel, then you have answered the call of God. But he's called you when you hear what the gospel is. And you are the chosen when you obey the gospel. If you have yet to obey the gospel, this is what you must do. Having heard the call, you must believe. You must believe that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. You must confess faith in Jesus, a verbal confession. You must repent of your sin. Change your mind. Live for Christ. Live for Christ and reject the things of this world. And you must submit to God's command to be baptized in water. What for? For the remission, that is, for the forgiveness of your sin. You're not baptized because you've already been saved. You're baptized in order to be saved. So it's absolutely essential to wash away. Paul said in Acts 22, verse 16, why turns thou rise? You know, that might seem Paul. Why turns thou rise and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord? Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So if you want to be saved, you must hear God telling you to be baptized. If you've done that, if you've committed offenses contrary to his will, and you are standing a guilty conscience away from God, you need to ensure that you have been, when your status of God has been saved, then you must pray to God, you must confess your sin, and you must repent of those things that will take you away from God. And God said the blood of Jesus Christ will continue to cleanse you when you do these things. If you need prayers in the church, you know, God gives blessed assurances that everything is going to be all right. We must hear him, and we must submit to the things that he has given us to do. If you obey the gospel, or if you need prayers, or if you need to be restored, this is the opportunity that God has granted to hear him for you and come as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Amen.